This is Stonewall Live, the best of gay and lesbian book, film, and media talk on Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Dale Lazaroff, a graphic whose graphic novels have just hit the world, and by surprise, hey, Dale, what's going on?
Oh, I'm just hanging in here.
You're hanging in there, and you are live from Chicago.
Yeah, I'm live from Chicago, and a few blocks away from Andersonville, the Gayborhood. Well, Gayborhood Part 2.
Yes. I love everyone's got a Gayborhood Part 2. I live in Gayborhood Part 2 in Fort Lauderdale. Someday you should do a graphic novel of how Gayborhoods jumped the fence, you know, like, you know, D.C., here, New York, everywhere, you know, where they had to jump the fence and go elsewhere. But let's start with the first question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You wrote a book about what?
Well, my new book is called Good Sports. I've written, this is my fourth hardcover of gay erotic comics.
Uh-huh.
First one is called Sticky, drawn by Steve McIsaac.
Uh-huh.
Second was is called Manly, drawn by Amy Colburn. The third is called Nightlife, drawn by Bastian Johnson. And this one, which came out a couple of months ago, it's called Good Sports. And it's drawn by Alessio Solominski.
I love that name.
I think he's a lovely guy, very talented artist, and I'm very lucky to have worked with him. I mean, I am the luckiest gay erotic comics writer, editor ever.
Uh-huh.
Because I get to work with people who are able to nail the scripts and nail the both the sex and the relational context between the characters in a way that's vivid,
mm-hmm.
without me using dialogue or captions to tell the story with them in collaboration.
Right.
So, we're doing something that, you know, seems counterproductive in some sense, but because comics are a visual medium that has text also.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look back at the history of gay erotic comics, they started as silent comics,
right.
You know. At Thomas Finland, nobody asked him. I mean, he did some work with dialogue, and I'm not sure he ever used captions. But soon enough, because most of his market was in America, and he lived in Finland,
right?
He let go of writing dialogue or captions and just made it a purely visual, choreographed narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And, avoided writing cheesy gay porn dialogue, which is always a plus.
It is. I wasn't familiar with just the graphic novel without dialogue until I read Good Sports. And I, by the way, love Good Sports, and we're going to talk about it, some of the themes that you get into just in this novel. But let me go back a little bit. When you introduced all of your books, Sticky, Manly, and Nightlife. I wrote myself wrong. I can't read my writing. Nightlife and Good Sports. You mentioned that you had someone else is doing the drawing. Now,
yes.
Do you sketch these out with what you do? Do you do it verbally? Do you do it physically? Do you do it graphically? How do you work with a collaborator? It seems to me this would be like a lyric and songwriter, you know. But how do you do this?
Well, actually, I how it works, by and large, I write for the artist. I first pitch them the story idea based on what I know they can do and what I think they can do, because you don't want to not challenge
right.
a cartoonist because they get bored.
Mm-hmm.
Usually my instincts are dead on,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, I try to be mindful about what they want to do. Rarely do I, you know, I've pitched something that didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
They say, go for it, and then I write a full script.
Okay.
Which basically breaks down the page. I imagine the page, and then I write a description of the page panel by panel,
mm-hmm.
What the characters are feeling, are doing. It's like a choreography script.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's their purview to interpret the script
mm-hmm.
based on their skills.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I work with illustrators who can use body language and facial expressions and the design of the page to tell a story visually.
Correct.
And because I can write visually, what I do is I try to evoke the feeling as well as, you know, the concrete details. And, yeah, you know, the not only the sexual choreography, but how things happen, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. Like, say, because I knew that the artist would prefer to figure out how to distinguish visually the simultaneous, because Good Sports goes back and forth on three different,
mm-hmm,
timelines.
Right.
How they met.
Correct.
The day before the,
yes,
present.
Uh-huh.
And the present where they're having a lot of sex to celebrate, mm-hmm, what happened the day before.
Okay. Right.
And because you know, my writer instinct was, I'll leave it for the artist to interpret how to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And exactly what I would have done is what the artist proposed,
yes,
which was he proposed to use William Faulkner style color coding.
Yeah.
As you may or may not know, he originally wanted a chapter of Son of the Fury done in different color type to
tell
the reader
what parts of the
Benji story were in the present and which parts were what he witnessed and which parts were his imagination and so on and so forth.
Right.
Now,
right.
I might be misrepresenting this slightly, but anyway, the point is he wanted to use different color type,
right,
to indicate time frame, and the publisher said that was too expensive.
Uh-huh.
I understand that there's an edition coming out now that has the color coding.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that'd be
yep,
great.
Which I cannot wait to get because I'm a total geek when it comes to literature and comics.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. That's great because I'm looking through the novel right now, and you know, as you read it, it's very clear because of the colors and the shading what is present and what is either in the past or the future, and that's great. Of course, in a graphic novel, you have that. You know, you're already in color, you're already in production, you're already in a higher value production than just a black print. But that's great. That sounds like an amazing, amazing collaboration. That how do you find the artist?
Well, I am in the lucky position now that artists ask me to write for them.
Wow.
And that's one of my wish lists when I first started asking people to collaborate with me after the first one, which the artist asked me to write for him, was I want to be the writer that artists ask to write for.
Uh-huh, yes.
And at least for the genre we're in, it seems that has been accomplished because I've signed like 4 artists in the past 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, well, you know, you hit the tipping point.
Yeah.
You know, 4 hardcovers out with in fine art paper distributed internationally by a German gay art book publisher.
I know.
It's kind of like, okay, this guy is not a risk.
No, you're right, you're not. Well,
plus, you know, I have a reputation now, so.
Yes.
But originally, the first time, as I said, Steve Beck-Isaac asked me to write for him,
mm-hmm,
I befriended Amy online, and I asked her to collaborate with me, and she said, oh, I don't know. So what I did was I seduced her by writing her a script she couldn't turn down.
Oh, you seductive devil, you. Okay, I have a little timer that reminds me every so often to ask you how to order and buy your books.
Oh, excellent. You can get my books through Amazon.com,
mm-hmm,
TLA Gay, Book Depository, which accepts PayPal and distributes and ships books internationally for free.
Okay,
so if you have any listeners,
Book
in Europe,
we do have an entire listener base in Melbourne, Australia, thanks to a good friend there. This actually gets rebroadcast in Melbourne on Fridays. So yes, that was Book Depository, and I believe
.com.
bookdepository.com, bookdepository.com for international orders, and your website, of course, is?
Yeah, my website is DaleLazarov.com.
Great. So just go to DaleLazarov.com.
Yeah.
And that'll have the link to get the international orders. That is a question every single time I do a popular show like this. All right, I have more questions here. Okay. Okay, here we go. This was a sports theme. Good for you. This is a no-lose situation right now in GLBT literature. I have I spoke to Dale a little bit earlier. My listeners already know this, that I've been in gay and lesbian literature for about 12 years now on both sides with the Stonewall Library and helping with publishers and getting new authors started. Right now, the only big sellers are things that young adults like, sports themes, and gay vampires.
Well, I shall write about a gay vampire basketball playing team.
A gay, a young. That's right, young. Okay.
Yeah.
Go young. No, I'm serious.
I'm kidding. I wouldn't.
I'm not
that crass.
Okay, I know. I'm just joking. I'm not kidding. I'm actually telling you stats from the public, from the gay and lesbian publishers. The two or three that are left still, and the stuff that gets sold on Amazon right now, 18 to 24 year olds are actually buying more books than their counterparts. Their older counterparts are using more Kindle or just not reading. I think this It Gets Better thing really got them going in the high schools, and of course the teen novels are, most of them are sports or vampire-based. The Lambda Literary Award winner, of course, this year was Jim Provenzano, Every Time I Think of You, which was a lacrosse-based gay teen novel. So right there, and sports novels have been just going like crazy. And I'm so glad you chose sports in this theme.
Provenzano's first book was about gay teen wrestlers.
Right.
Well, at least one of them. So,
right.
He was doing this
years
before
ago. Right.
It was trendy.
Correct.
Because I have a good relationship with my publisher.
Uh huh.
My idea was, what would be the most popular trope for gay erotic comics in the history of gay erotic comics.
Right.
Outside of manly guys, which I did already with Manly.
Sure.
It would be the jock porn story.
Oh my God. Yeah.
You got that. So right. my decision was, how can I take that core concept and make it work in my mode of comics, which tend to be, you know, they have a romantic or at least relational or collegial context.
Right.
I realized that, you know, I was ready to write a graphic novel that was only about two characters.
Uh-huh.
And if I chose a sports topic, it would be most likely to be listened to.
Sure.
Where that book with multiple stories,
correct,
you have some flexibility about what you do, but if you're going to put all your bets on two characters,
mm-hmm,
I thought, okay, how do I make it work within the context of what I do,
mm-hmm,
which is the carnality and sweetness.
Carnality and sweetness is exactly my next little comment. I did not find the book pornographic. It's graphic. In other words, you do see sex scenes, but I don't know if it was the illustration, the method of the illustration. It's a very, very tender, erotic love story. It is erotic. Yeah. It's graphic. I mean, it's you know, there's full frontal nudities. There's you know, genitalia. There's, you know, as you said, they're having sex in a couple of long, drawn out, lovely scenes. But it's a very tender sex. It's not really a it's not pornography where they just kind of go, bop, 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 bop. You know, you don't hear flap, 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 flap in your head. You know, you kind of feel like there is a tenderness. The people who did your facial expressions, the artist in this particular case, I did look at Manly, and actually the library, the Stonewall, keeps a copy in its archives of Sticky. We have some. We have erotic novels in our collection. They're not in our circulating collection, but they're in our collection for study. And this one, I think, has the best facial. Did you notice that, or is that just my opinion?
Actually, I had three reviewers who complained that the artist is not as expressive as the other two that you mentioned.
Hmm.
The other three, actually.
Hmm.
Now, to give a context, these folks are like comics readers primarily.
Okay.
So they have a certain expectation,
which I
built with my previous books. Right. I thought that in this case, because of the nature of the characters, it
uh-huh.
was okay if the characters weren't as Disney animation expressive as Manly.
Correct. That's a good word.
Which is perfect for that book.
For the context.
But
now,
not for this one.
Correct. For this context. Yeah, I see what you mean, but the difference between Manly and this one as far as the quote-unquote Disney manifestation. I am not a comic book background. I did not. I'm one of the few gay young men or old men that didn't read comics as a young man. I found out that's kind of like a meme that I didn't catch that when I read Jane Austen. You know, who knows? But I did. So I don't come from the comic background. I come from literature background, and you know, reading like one hand and the old pulp fiction erotic novels. This is what this reminded me of.
Oh yeah, I definitely have that in my background.
Yeah.
See, I have a distinct advantage in some ways and disadvantage in others is that I both love literature and comics.
Okay.
You know, I'm so, you know, I can thieve from William Faulkner, you know.
Right. Sure.
somebody who doesn't know that work or know that history
right.
does not have access to those techniques.
Correct.
And at the same time, because I know comics really well, I can have access to those techniques too.
Correct.
And one thing I hear a lot is this doesn't feel like porn.
Mm-hmm. I didn't.
And I think part of it is the because of the context. It's to explain that one thing. For example. I've been super careful in the past to only show safe sex,
mm-hmm.
with one exception that I had no control over. The other, for this one, I say, I'm going to write a story in which the readers know that these characters are having unsafe sex in a way that isn't problematic for them.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
On safe sex isn't about the eroticism of barebacking, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's the sexual representation,
right?
Right. So having a story in which you see it's that they're each other's first love
mm-hmm.
absolutely justifies their unsafe sex. And I've asked this question of everybody that's interviewed me,
mm-hmm.
would the unsafe sex bother you? And they say, no.
I didn't, till you said that, I had to go back and look right now because it did not even occur to me. And I'm one of those people who thinks that unsafe sex in real porn, in the real porn world, is intolerable as far as exposing these people to a bad work environment for other reasons. But of course, in graphic novels, that's not an issue. But I never felt like this was an issue that where I needed to see a condom because I assumed that they were a monogamous couple that deeply were committed to each other. And, you know, I think we've gotten a little too, this is a personal thing, I think we've gotten a little bit too fascist in our condom always use because there are people in monogamous relationships and they are going to do, you know, what they want to do. And you know, it's like, does anyone ever walk up to a pregnant girl and say, oh my God, you barebacked?
well, you know, the thing is, I, at the same time, which I know this is erotic work, it's fantastic. No cartoons were injured during the unsafe sex.
Mm-hmm.
I am conscious that I, even though it's gay comics films, mm-hmm. I feel a certain responsibility. Because for better or for worse, one of my intentions is I want to write gay erotic comics that not only turn people on, but make them feel good.
Right.
And, you know, sending out a mixed message for me would be problematic. But because you got that they were monogamous relationships, somebody else got that they were each other's first love,
mm-hmm.
and so on and so forth, whichever way they got that the unsafe sex was contextualized as safe,
mm-hmm.
that means that we effectively told the story.
You did. I mean, they're not having sex. Correct. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I mean, I thought about this long and hard, pardon mm-hmm. the expression, because I care. I care. And I personally have had no problem having condoms in the stories. And in fact, the stories will use the condoms as part of the story. Like, there's a story in Nightlife about two guys who meet on a layover in the airport.
Right.
Now, obviously, this is a hookup.
Correct.
So for me to show unsafe sex, that would be a context that's problematic.
Great.
So I said, okay, so how do I include the condoms in the story in a way that doesn't seem preachy? That's
right.
A natural extension of their characters and the way they have sex.
Right.
So in the script, I set it up so when they're about to go towards anal, as I like to say, they stop to hunt for a condom,
mm-hmm.
and the one who finds it first is the one who gets to bottom first.
Oh.
So it totally changes the conversation
sure.
about safe sex. And, you know, the fact that the artist was able to communicate that makes me very, very happy.
Yes, yes, that's a great line. I didn't even notice that. I did have it as, I did get the hookup thing, and I guess in a hookup situation. But this, you know, Good Sports, the novel only has one couple, same couple,
yep.
having sex a lot of different ways. But they're having it in a setting either in their living room or in their bedroom or in the shower it's in a home non-hookup setting. There's nowhere they're not having sex in a bathroom, a bathhouse. You know, they're not having group sex. They're not they obviously know each other. It's playful. It's real. And I didn't really see that. I got them as a monogamous relationship, basically because they both peed in the toilet at the same time. That has to be a monogamous relationship. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I picked that up.
And you are one of my ideal readers because you get all the subtle things.
Yes. If you pee in the same toilet or you can be in the same room with a person when they're using the toilet, that's a monogamous relationship. That you're not going to be running around. All right. Let me go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk a little bit about publishing. We're doing great here time-wise. We were in Europe a few years ago, and we were in Belgium, and did notice a lot of different graphic novels, not just in the gay world, but all over. It seemed, and you said your publisher was German. Why is there a difference between U.S. and Europe as far as graphic novels and art?
Well, now there's a little bit of speculation in what I'm going to say. So, in other words, this is my hypothesis, which I cannot prove.
You're enough. You're better than I am.
Because I'm the last person. I'm the last person who wants to do opinion expresses fact.
Okay.
You know how people are.
Trust me. I'm out there in the blogosphere. Come on, I know exactly how people are. Go ahead.
Yeah. So okay, this is my theory. Two things. Number one. Because of the format of the books and the diversity of the material
mm-hmm.
and the lack of cultural biases
mm-hmm.
around comics and the fact that comics were never, self-isolating from mainstream culture.
Right.
That they're integrated. Like, just like in their friends, to say that you're a gay writer is a stupid thing because mm-hmm. you're just gay and a writer.
Right.
If you make graphic novels,
mm-hmm.
you'll participate in culture fully. You know, the idea that a form for telling stories,
mm-hmm.
or doing poetic works, because you can be poetic in a graphic novel form.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not done that often.
Right.
Is absurd, because it's a form. Because in America, they assume that form equals audience.
Okay.
And also because of the economics of how comics were produced,
mm-hmm.
they self-marginalize, like, say, in Europe, paying $20 for one of my books is ordinary.
Correct. I see.
Here, it's a different story because from the beginning, comics have priced themselves cheap.
Dime, yeah. 15 cents.
You know.
Yeah. Right.
They'll owe me 12 cents, you know?
Correct, right.
I mean, I wasn't born then, but I read those comics, so I know that was the sort of tagline.
I remember. So that's
my theory. My theory is a combination of marketing
mm-hmm.
and a combination of the lack of cultural bias.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in terms of the diversity, say, the American market supports basically superheroes distributed
right.
by one distributor and published by, you know, a handful of publishers.
Correct.
So there's, for example, every year I'm asked to do a gay pride book signing
mm-hmm.
at a gay-owned store,
mm-hmm.
and they ask me to bring my own copies, because they have no way to get them, because they only work with a comic distributor. They don't have an account for a bookstore distributor.
Right, right.
Which requires certain economic agency and, you know,
right.
for better or for worse, a lot of these comic book stores are run by eager potheads, as I like to call them.
Yeah.
They're very sincere.
Right.
But anything outside of the boundaries and the limits, you know, they can't do. They just... Now, and the thing is, because comics artists and creators price themselves so low,
right?
They can get away with that.
Sure.
I work on $35 hardcovers.
No,
I know. If you cannot get copies, if the financial risk of the event is on me, I'm not doing it.
Right, I agree. Listen, we've got only a couple of minutes left. I told you it was the fastest 30 minutes of your life. It is amazing. And I do want to talk about... the very last thing I ask all my authors, and I always have fun with this question, is what would you say to a young, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed kid who walked up to you and said, I want to write erotic graphic novels? How do I start?
Well, you start by practicing a lot, because for better or for worse, it takes 10,000 hours of doing something to get really good at it.
Mm-hmm.
Do not be afraid of connecting with people who have talents you don't have.
Mm-hmm.
Because had I not hung out with comic book artists, I wouldn't be a comic book writer right now.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
Sure.
So you know, while I cannot get arrested for publishing poetry or short fiction nowadays because the market is so dead,
mm-hmm.
I have four books out as a gay erotic comics writer.
How about a playwright? That'd be the worst. A gay playwright. I'm sorry, that's terrible. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I mean, it's that's just the fact. I have a second career now because I didn't limit my relationships based entirely on quote unquote my class of people or my kind of people. You know,
right.
I love literature and comics, so I have friends on both sides.
So it's practice. You need 10,000 hours of practice, and associate with the people like you.
Well, yeah, not people just like you, but people who have talents you don't
have.
That's
what I meant. People who have talents you want to have. That's right. People who you want to have. That's right. Aspiration. Aspirational talents. Dale, this was a delight. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome.
And have
I'm so happy to be here.
I am too. I'm so excited. Don't forget, DaleLazaroff.com, DestinationBooks.com. Did I get that right for our international listeners?
For international listeners, that will be booksdepository.com.
I got that totally wrong. And I'm reading it right in front of me, booksdepository.com. It's the sun here, guys. Booksdepository.com for the international readers. Goodbye from Fort Lauderdale. Thank you, Dale.
Oh, thank you.